We're very glad to have you tuned in again today, and we want to invite you to turn to the third chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and we'll be reading there in just a moment. But first, let me thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening each week. We're always thankful to have people that tell us they listen, and we always hope that it's a blessing to you. And we hope that as each Sunday comes and goes, that it's not in vain, that it's a help to someone, and that it'll help some pilgrim as they journey on down the road of life. We'd like to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at our scripture. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place of prayer that we can enter into, and there that our hearts can commune with you, and that we can know the joy and the blessedness of having a Father that loves us, that gave his Son to die on a cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, God, for those that has been by that cross and had the blood applied. And it's our desire this morning as we try to bring this message that you would bless it into the hearts of those that have never been saved. May they realize that there's only one door to heaven, and through it, if they enter in, they shall be saved. And we'd ask this morning to bless all the sick, wherever they may be. But Lord, especially those that are lost, we'd ask you to save them, because Jesus died that they might be saved. Go with us now, we pray, because we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In the third chapter, according to Matthew, we find in verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of with the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." There's an awful lot could be said on this, but of course time will only permit us to deal with some of this. But first of all, let me say that I have often thought if the Apostle Paul were to be here today, or John the Baptist, if they were living, and they approached us with a message that was as stern as this one, and some that Paul and James has written, I just wonder how it would be received by the public. You know, we're very sensitive people. If you fool with us much, you're going to offend us. And certainly, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to John's baptism, they undoubtedly were people that had had their differences over their points of view, one being a Pharisee, which confesses, of course, that there is angels or spirits, and that there's a heaven and a hell. Now, the Sadducees denied angels or any future life. And so, of course, there was differences of opinion among them. But it's interesting to notice that whenever John the Baptist was preaching to them, that his message was, you better flee from the wrath that's to come. Now, as we look into the scriptures, we find Jesus making this statement, that he that believeth is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already. This in the third chapter of John. Now, if the unsaved is condemned already, then certainly there is an abundance of wrath that now abides on every unsaved person, whomever they may be. They may be people like the Pharisees. They may be people that believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and that may be just as careful to maintain good works as did the Pharisees. They were very, very meticulous about everything that they done. They observed to do all the law, they thought, and they took care of even the little trifles, you know, the very detailed. There may be people like that, that believes in all that. There may be people like the Sadducees, or you could say Jehovah's Witnesses, that or whomever, that does not believe in a literal burning hell, and that there's nothing to be really alarmed about. Or they may have a lifestyle like the drunkards and the harlots that Jesus talked about. But the message that was given to everyone, regardless who they were, was that you better flee from the wrath to come. Now, I just want to say, in the day that we're living, it's very hard to go to a church or find a preacher that is willing to open up and just tell lost people how it is. That they're sinners, that they fell in Adam, that they're lost and they're separated from God, and that there's nothing good about them. Nothing. And we find today that the psychology of most preaching is that you tend to tell people how good they are. And they like to go to church and be told how good they are. They like to leave feeling all uplifted. Oh, this preacher just lifted me up today. He really did make me feel good. Well, there's a good possibility he didn't preach the gospel. Not like it ought to be. Whenever we read that John the Baptist told these publicans and harlots and didn't change the message when he talked to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious people, the message was the same. You better flee from the wrath that's to come. Now, there's a present wrath. That's the reason I mentioned the scripture that God is angry with the sinner every day. There's already a condemnation that hangs over him. And that's the reason Jesus said, he that believeth is not condemned, he that believeth not is condemned already. There is already a judgment that hangs like a storm cloud over all the unsaved. Well, certainly, if preachers had spiritual eyes enough to stand in the pulpit and look back over the congregation and just know that these that are not saved, that there's a spiritual cloud that hangs over them, and it's the wrath of God that is all tied up in that cloud, and it's not dropped yet. The storm has not come out of that cloud yet, but it's going to. And you see, the longer that it waits before it opens up is the longer and the stronger that it's going to be when it does fall. And that ought to make preachers especially very concerned that there is a sufficient rebuke of sin, that there is a reproving of sin. Now, you see, in this day in which we live, people have a tendency to believe that if a preacher gets strong with them, in other words, if he burns their hide, then they've got all kind of unkind and uncharitable things to say about him, because they say, this man don't preach the way I like to hear. I don't like to go there. Well, what about if you were going to see a doctor and the doctor give you an examination and he said to you, well, it's obvious you have cancer and you're going to die. Now, nobody wants to hear that. But it's not a whole lot unlike going to sit under a preacher that will examine you with the scriptures and tell you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. In other words, you have a spiritual cancer. You're dying, and you're just one heartbeat away from death and eternity. Now, nobody wants to hear that. But the fact of the matter is, what do you want to hear? You want to hear a lie that you don't have cancer and you just go on and the cancer overtakes you and sure enough does really do you up a job, kill you? Or if some doctor said after his examination, I find you have cancer. However, I have found a cure. And if you'll take this as I prescribe it, then you're going to get well. Now, what about the preacher that would say to someone that has been examined under the influence of the Spirit, and that person cries out, woe is me, for I'm an unclean man. I dwell among an unclean people. And he listens, though, and this same preacher that tells him that he's full of sin, that he's dying, he also has a cure that he can tell him about. And if he will do exactly as the prescription is, then he'll get over his spiritual death. Now you see, this is what John the Baptist was doing. He was calling men to repentance. How do you flee from the wrath which is to come? Well, the only way that I know of is by repentance. Men flee by repentance. Now, these people that's trying to sew with silk without using a sharp needle, you just can't do it, as somebody said. But let me tell you, the preaching of the gospel, it gets right down into people's heart and tells that very core of that person that it's black, that it's lost, and that it's under judgment. And it must flee from the wrath which is to come. You know, I think even the heathen people, I recall, if you'll pardon me giving you a personal experience, back, oh, it's got to have been 20-something years ago, maybe 30-something years ago. I was reading a book about the heathen people that's never heard the gospel and how that they try to satisfy that conscience that is so aggravating them. You know, they know that their conscience is exercised. It's bothering them. But they don't know how to appease it. They don't know how to quieten it down. In other words, what about if you were really feeling depressed, knowing something was lacking, knowing you needed to do something, you just didn't know what it was, and you'd never heard about sin, hell, heaven, or salvation. Never heard of none of it. But all this is working on you, and you just don't know what it is. Well, that's the way the writer, as I recall it, of course, like I said, it's been many years, that's the way this person was depicting these heathen people. But they knew, instinctively knew, I suppose, that good is one thing, but that evil has to be punished. They knew that without ever hearing the gospel. And that's the reason why that they felt like they needed to do something to appease their conscience. They had to do something. They had to make some kind of sacrifice. And do you know what they did in order to appease their conscience? They would throw their babies to the crocodiles, or throw them down over the cleft, and they would think then, you know, I have made a great sacrifice to pay for my evil. Now, that's pitiful. That is very pitiful to even think about someone doing that through absolute ignorance. But is it not also pitiful when you see people that has heard the gospel, even though they've never heard it in a way that it was brought home to their heart as to what they needed to do, but they just know generally that they're going to die and that there's a heaven and a hell, and that's about all they know. And so many of them will try to do like these Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, John the Baptist said unto them, he said, don't say within yourselves, we have Abraham unto our father. You see, to that Jew, he was looking at the lineage that would take him all the way back to Abraham, which was the beginning of the race. And they claimed a certain righteousness just being seed of Abraham. John said, you can't do that. That's not going to take care of the wrath that is impending. You're going to need to flee. You've got to. Now, these people had self-righteousness. They had thought that having Abraham as their father, that would take care of their situation. They were appeasing their conscience by thinking about having Abraham as their descendant, or as their kind of a spiritual head for that nation. Now, that ancestor, even though he was so great, he was not a savior. And therefore, there was nothing Abraham or being related to him could do in order to save those people. And John knew this, and he was preaching to them concerning the need to repent. They had to repent of their sins. They had to flee from their sins. They had to flee from them. And as the book of Hebrews tells us, that we need to flee to the refuge and hold on to that. Now there's a refuge, and of course Christ is that refuge. We have to flee to Him. We have to immediately see the danger. And usually you don't see people running scared unless there's something there that scares them. Now, recently there was an earthquake in California, as you all know. And every time one of those aftershocks would come along, you could just see the horror on people's face. Now, we were there in 1971 whenever they had the February 9th earthquake. And I recall the earthquake, and I also recall the aftershocks, how that affected us. I was pastoring a church there. And you could just see the terror in people's face. And sometimes you just see people just running, not really anywhere. They don't know. They just don't feel safe. They feel so insecure, frightened. But you see, in the gospel, that's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. It's to give direction to the lost sinner where to run. Because there's an earthquake, spiritual earthquake, that's taking place. But it's not the big one right yet. This is not the one. This is that present judgment that's just hanging overhead, and it trembles the whole earth, even that does. But it's not the big one. The one that John is talking about here, he said, flee from the wrath which is to come. There's a day of wrath that is going to come to this world. God is going to pour out the vials of His wrath upon this earth. He's going to destroy everything that rebelled against His government. Everything that stood in opposition to righteousness is going to be put down. And you and I, whether we like to hear it or not, we have a deadly disease that is called sin. It's not something you can just feel inside your mouth and say, oh, I feel that sin problem in there. No, that's not it. It's not something you can physically put your finger on. It's an abstract, as it were, but it's a moral disease. And if you have that disease, the Bible is clear that you will die forever and forever and forever, but never die. But all that time you'll be in a lake of fire, burning day and night forever and forever. My friend, let me just say to you today that if you have not had that experience, that earth-shaking experience, I'm talking about whenever your breast just trembled with conviction, whenever God was eating you up with condemnation, He was reproving you, rebuking you, and that caused you to flee to that refuge, then I'm afraid that you don't have what it's going to take to stand against that day. Now, I don't want someone to think that I'm being judgmental or anything like that, but I've just got to do like John. I've got to tell you the truth. But I'm afraid that today that we have so many churches that does not preach an earth-shaking kind of conviction. They preach an easy believism. It doesn't shake the ground one bit. It just tells people that they need to straighten up and they need to live better. And live like, you know, the Pharisees, they preached that. They taught that. That you live good. You did good. And today there's so many people that has heard that if they would go to churches and give their money and, you know, live good through the week, then everything was all right. Preachers preach their funeral just like that every day. But my friend, I want to tell you that there has to be that understanding that there is a day of wrath that is coming and that you are to flee from that wrath. You're to run from that wrath. Well, we hear people sometimes say, boy, I don't think you ought to scare people. Boy, let me tell you something. I heard the gospel. Of course, I'd heard it all my life. But whenever I truly got under conviction, I mean truly, when it was just eating me alive, Brother Charles Masters was preaching the gospel at Stone Pile Church, and listen, he scared me. It scared me to think that I was going to have to meet God in my sins without any hope. And my friend, I want to tell you today that if you don't have Christ as a refuge, if you don't know Him, if you've never had an experience with Him, if you stand outside of Him, oh my, what a day. What a day that's going to be. And you're not going to have anyone to stand there in your behalf. There's going to be no one that can defend you. There's nothing that can be said to better your condemnation. It's going to be a terrible day. The Bible describes it as an awful day. That great and awful day of the Lord. It tells us about men weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. It tells us about the crying. It tells us about that He'll come from heaven and every eye shall see Him and they that pierced Him shall look upon Him. It's going to be an awful time. But those that are in Christ, they have nothing to fear. You know, Jesus, He became what we are so we could become what He is. And surely you don't think that God's got any anger pent up against His Son. He has nothing but just absolutely pure love for Him. It's the wicked that God is angry with every day. But we, John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We're already sons of God if we have truly been born again. And what about how pitiful it is that someone would think that in order to escape the wrath of God that you would dive into a baptismal place and get your sins taken care of by baptism. Well, that doesn't cover the soul. That doesn't get to where your problem is. There's a lot of people that has good works religion. Some has baptismal salvation. And there's all kind. But I'm going to tell you that the Bible doesn't teach but one kind. And that's a heartfelt kind. John said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's brethren involved. There's a people of God and we love those people because we have been born into that same family. And we're all children of God by faith. It's faith in Christ. It's faith in what Christ did. It's faith in Christ's gospel. That was His gospel. He didn't come preaching someone else's gospel. He came preaching His own. John was His forerunner. John was sent to prepare a people for the Lord. And the Lord came and He took these people and that John had preached to and those that had repented that could give a credible profession of faith or an evidence of faith. He said, bring forth therefore fruit meat for repentance. We need to see some evidence. We need to see fruits. And that's the way John was. And if John was to walk into most of these pulpits today and he announced that he'd be back next Sunday, well, he may be, but there wouldn't be anybody much show up. Because you see, today people have turned a deaf and a dull ear to the truth. And that's what Paul said, that they in these last days, that is a mark of these last days, that we would turn our ears from the truth unto fables, which is nothing but tales. I'm telling you, I get sick as a dog sometimes just listening to these false prophets on television that have big tales about how that they do these marvelous wonders, miracle-working things, and it's nothing but a tale and nothing but a lie right out of hell. And yet people stand back and they'll ooh and they'll ah that, and all the time their poor souls is being sucked dry. Have you ever seen these flies that get on horses and suck the blood out of them? That's exactly what these modern vipers are doing. They're sucking the spirituality and the life out of the souls of men and destroying them. And oh, how it grieves my heart. I love everybody, but I don't love these lies that's being preached and these practices that are deceiving and turning men away from God. I want to see people get saved. I want people to know they're saved. I had the sad experience one time up here in Rabun County. I asked a young man, I said, "Have you been saved?"